Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. The subject of fasting. Okay, now in the last service we gave a brief introduction to the subject of fasting. Now we saw what fasting is, its importance, as well as examples of people who fasted in scripture. Now today, beginning in this service, we look at those examples in depth. Okay, so I want to examine the lives of those who fasted and prayed in scripture, beginning with the Old Testament. Okay, so a subheading for you, fasting in the Old Testament. Now, bullet point here as we proceed. Now, beginning with fasting in the life of Moses. Now, Moses fasted for 40 days twice. Moses' first fast is recorded in Exodus chapter 24, verse 18. It says, so Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Underline that, 40 days and 40 nights. Now when the children of Israel sinned by making a golden calf, Moses fasted again for 40 days to intercede for them. Deuteronomy 9 verse 9. Deuteronomy 9 9. When I went up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Underline from 40 to water. Verse 11 of that same chapter. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, underline from 40 to nights, that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Verse 18 of that same chapter. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first. Underline that, as at the first. 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of your sin, on the line from eye to sin, which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of your Lord to provoke him to anger. So in Moses' first fast, he receives the law. In the second, he saves Israel from destruction by praying for them. So he prayed and fasted. Now next, fasting in the life of Elijah. Now in 1 Kings 19, we read of Elijah, who having been fed of angels, fasted for 40 days. Verse 5 of that same chapter, 1 Kings 19, it says, then as he lay down and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. On the line from here to night, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Now notice that both Moses and Elijah fasted for prolonged periods, 40 days. Now that's a long time, right? Okay, and in both examples, there was a supernatural element to it. Moses' 40 days was in the glory of God. Elijah's 40 days was because he was fed by angels, so both happened supernaturally. So it would be unwise to attempt this today, okay? Wisdom is profitable, amen? Now next here, fasting in the life of King Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, received word that a very large army from the territories of Moab and Ammon was invading his kingdom from the east. Now King Jehoshaphat's army was not sufficient to defeat this kingdom. So he does the wise thing. He turns to God for help. So he humbles himself before the Lord, he and his people. How? By calling for a fast. Verse 3 of that same chapter. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Underline from said to Lord. And proclaim the fast. Underline that, proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Underline from 2 to Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Underline that, to seek the Lord. So this was a collective fasting and prayer. Not individual, but corporate. Now verse 13 shows that men, women, and children were all included in this fast. It says, now all Judah with their little ones, underline little ones, their wives, underline wives, and their children, underline that their children, stood before the Lord. Now this fasting brought about a series of supernatural occurrences. In verses 14 to 17 of that same chapter, a prophecy is given by a Levite called Ahaziel. Okay, verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Ahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, underline that, do not be afraid, nor dismayed, because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jericho. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord is with you. Now this prophecy inspires hope and encouragement to the people. Now they in turn worship the Lord. Verses 18 to 22 of that same chapter. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Now this praise continued as they went out to battle. Verse 20 of that same chapter. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord, and those who would praise the beauty of holiness. And he went out before the army and was saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, this is what many people see, okay, the praising. You know, some people have come here to use this text to say things like, when the praise goes up, the blessings come down. Have you heard that before? So when you're having issues, just be singing praise. But what they do not realize is that the people actually prayed and fasted. Do you see that there? Before they sang praises. So the praise was a show of thankfulness because God heard their prayer. Okay? Now, the outcome of their fasting and prayer is described in verses 22 to 24 of that same chapter. There was no need for them to fight. The enemies turned on each other and no one survived. Verse 22 of that same chapter. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mansur, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mansur to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies falling on the ground. No one had escaped. So all the people had to do was to spend 3 days gathering the spoils. Verse 25 of that same chapter. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and on precious jewelry, which they stripped off from themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Then they praised the Lord even more. Verses 26 to 28 of that same chapter. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for they blessed the Lord. Underline that, they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the valley of Baraka until this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of God. Now all the nations feared Israel after this. Verses 29 to 30 of that same chapter. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries. When they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for the Lord his God gave him rest all around. So they dared not fight against Jehoshaphat, or his kingdom. Now next here, fasting in the leadership of Ezra. Ezra chapter 8. Now the book of Ezra records Israel's return from captivity in Babylon. Ezra was chosen to lead the people, and he went out with about 40,000 women and children. The king of Babylon had granted Israel much wealth and resources to rebuild their city. But on getting to the boundaries of Babylon, they found that it was filled with bandits and thieves. Okay, the Bedouins who lived in the desert, Bedouins, okay, and they were unarmed. That is, they had no weapons or military escort. Okay, but they had great treasure which could be stolen. Now notice what the people do. They fast. So they had learned from their fathers the importance of fasting. Ezra chapter 8 verse 21. Ezra 8 verse 21. Then I proclaimed the fast. Underline that. I proclaimed the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For as ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we have spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this. Underline from where did this? And he answered our prayer. So the people traveled safely because they depended on the Lord. How? In fasting and prayer. So, fasting coupled with prayers would mean depending on God's own ability, not ours. Now, fasting in King David's life. Okay, another bullet point here. Fasting in King David's life. Fasting for David was a way to humble himself. David said, I humble myself with fasting. Psalm 35 verse 13. So, his fasting showed dependence on God. You know, like we saw, fasting will do that to a man's heart. Now, fasting in the leadership of Nehemiah. Nehemiah served as a cupbearer to the king. You find that Nehemiah 1 verse 11. Now, when Nehemiah heard bad news concerning Jerusalem, his first resort was not to start planning and strategizing. Rather, he fasted and prayed. Nehemiah 1 verse 4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying. Underline that. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And as a result of his fasting and prayers, God gave him favor with the king. Okay. And he sent him to Jerusalem. And the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. So here again, this man humbled himself before the Lord by fasting. And his prayer was heard. Now fasting in the life of Queen Esther. The Jews in Esther's day faced a serious crisis. A decree had been made to annihilate the entire Jewish nation. Now, you know, this is worse than the Holocaust under Adolf Hitler. Hitler only had 1/3 of all the Jews at his mercy. But here we find the entire Jewish nation to be destroyed. Okay, now the person behind this was a man named Haman, who hated the Jewish people. Haman had convinced the king to pass a law to destroy the Jewish people. You may see that in Esther chapter 3. Now in Esther chapter 4, Esther declares a fast as she meets with the king to intercede for our people, to plead for our people. Esther 4 verse 15, let's see that quickly. Esther 4 15. Then Esther told them to reply, Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days. Underline from fast to days, night a day. My maids and I will fast likewise. Underline that. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Now according to Persian law, anyone who saw the king without his permission was to be killed. You see that in Esther chapter 4 verse 11. This was what Esther intended to do. So she asked for God's help through prayer and fasting. So again, we see God's people gather in prayer and fasting in time of crisis to seek his help, just as in the days of Jehoshaphat. And the result? The decree is changed in favor of the Jewish people. You find that in Esther chapter 8. Mordecai and Esther rise to prominence in Persian politics. Esther 6, Esther 9 verse 29, and the people are spared. Now all of this is directly traceable back to one thing. The people fasted and prayed. Do you follow that? Okay, so their fasting and prayer caused a change of events for good. Now next here, the ministry of Jonah and the fasting of the Ninevites. Now, Nineveh was a very immoral city in the ancient world. Now, observe how it is described, Nahum 3 verse 1. It says, "Woe to the bloody city," on the line that the bloody city, describing Nineveh, "it is all full of lies and robbery," on the line that full of lies and robbery, "its victims never depart." Now, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria at that time and the most powerful empire in the ancient world. Now, it was very sinful and violent, okay, and judgment was coming on it. Now, Jonah is sent by God to warn the people of impending destruction. Jonah, being a Jew, hated the Ninevites, okay? Jonah was a citizen of the northern kingdom of Israel, and the Assyrian Empire was a threat to his people. Their destruction would mean one less threat for his nation. Okay, so what does he do? He attempts to run away. You find that Jonah chapter 1, 103. Okay? However, the second time, Jonah agrees to preach at Nineveh, although reluctantly. Now, his message shows his reluctance. Jonah 3, 4. Okay? Jonah 3, 4. "And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" That's it. You see that? What a message. Hallelujah. What a gospel. A preacher who did not want his audience saved. Okay, but the people of Nineveh were contrite. They showed their repentance by fasting. Jonah 3, 5 to 9. Jonah 3, 5 to 9. Okay, so they are repentant. And how did they show that repentance? In fasting. Okay, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast. Underline that. Proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be published and proclaimed throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything." Underline that, taste anything. "Do not let them eat nor drink water, but let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Okay, so we find corporate repentance signified by corporate fasting. You find here that even animals partook in the fast, amen, and the land is spared. Verse 10 of that same chapter, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said it would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Not permissive, right? Okay, now next here, fasting in the book of Joel. Fasting in the book of Joel. Now, in the book of Joel, the Lord instructs his people to fast when things go wrong. It is through fasting that they receive his aid. Joel 2 verse 12 to 13. It says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart with fasting," underline that, "with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for his gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness." Hallelujah. "And he relents from doing evil." So if we simply follow God's instruction, we would find him act mightily in our things. Okay, so he tells his people, fast. Amen. Now next bullet point here, fasting in the life of Daniel. Now Daniel was a politician. Amen. Some of you know that? He was a politician at Babylon, but also a prophet. You follow that? So Daniel was that guy doing ministry. You follow that? And also into politics. Okay? He was also a student of prophecy. Daniel 9:1. "In the year of Darius, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books," underline that, "understood by the books, the number of the years specified by the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet," underline that, "through Jeremiah the prophet, that it would accomplish 70 years in the dissolutions of Jerusalem. Then I set my face," underline that, "I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting," underline from 2 to fasting, "sackcloth and ashes." So in the course of studying the prophecies of Jeremiah, he discovered the promise in Jeremiah chapter 29. Okay, Jeremiah 29 verse 10. It says, "So thus says the Lord, After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good will toward you and cause you to return to this place. So from this prophecy, Daniel knew that the Jews would spend 70 years in Babylon. Now those 70 years were almost complete. So he begins to intercede for his people. Do you follow that? That they may be delivered from captivity. Now this is quite interesting because it shows that prophecy requires men's part to be fulfilled. Do you see that there? So, simply because God has prophesied something doesn't mean that it automatically comes to pass. Are you here? Man has a responsibility to act. Now, we explained this in our book on tongues. Okay, we have a chapter there on prophecy, so you may get it for that. Okay, so when Daniel discovered God's prophecy, he didn't see it as a discharge of his obligation to pray. Do you follow that? Okay, rather, he saw it as an opportunity to see God even more, that the prophecy be fulfilled. He was determined to see the prophecy fulfilled. He says, then I set my face toward the Lord God. Daniel 9 verse 3. That is, he fixed all of his attention on the Lord. So, he prayed and fasted in sackcloth and ashes. Daniel 9 verse 3. Now, sackcloth and ashes were used by the ancient Jews to show a repentant heart. Now observe his prayer in verse 7 of that same chapter, Daniel 9, 7. It says, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which you have committed against you. So he humbles himself before the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, underline that, humble themselves and pray, underline pray, and seek my face, underline seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So this is what Daniel did. Amen. He humbled himself before the Lord. So God had prophesied. Daniel's prayer brought the prophecy to reality. So the promises of God are never an excuse for us not to pray or to seek Him. Now next here, Isaiah's teaching on true fasting. Isaiah 58, 1 to 12 as we close. Are you following so far? Okay, Isaiah 58, 1 to 12. Now Isaiah 58 is also called the great fasting chapter of the Old Testament. Isaiah describes two different kinds of fastings in Isaiah 58. Now in verses 3 to 5, Isaiah describes the kind of fast which is not acceptable to God. Isaiah 58 verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you've not sinned? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? So the people ask God this question. Simply put, why do you ignore our fast? Now the reason. In fact, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate. Underline that, for strife and debate. And to strike with the feast of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Then in verses 6 to 12 of that same chapter, it describes a kind of fast which is well pleasing to God. Okay? Verse 6 of that same chapter. Is this not the fast that I've chosen, underline that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the burdens, to let your oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast away? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of God shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. And it shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. And it shall be called the repair of the bridge, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Okay, so the issue with both kinds of fasting was the motive behind them. Do you see that there? For the first kind of fast, in verses 3 to 5, it was done without any form of repentance. So it was hypocritical, just like the Pharisees did. The Pharisees would fast while continuing their pride, oppression, and selfishness. They fasted to be seen by others. You may see Matthew 6, 16 to 18 for that. Now, this was a wrong fast. Now, the kind of fast which God accepts is one done with the right motives. Verses 6 to 12 of that same chapter. So, fasting must be sincere, and fasting must change us. Anything short of this is unacceptable. Isaiah 58 also describes the blessings which come with fasting. Verses 11 to 12. It says, then the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your souls in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. So, just like Joel, Isaiah shows the link, the connection between fasting and God's blessings on his people. So we must be given to fasting. Okay? The more we are given to fasting and prayer, the more of God's power and glory we would see in our midst. Because our fasting and prayers shows that we depend upon the power of God, not our own human strength. So don't be one who gives excuses as to why you can't fast. Do you follow that? I've heard some people say things like, I do not have the gift of fasting. I've heard that before. You know, Christians are quite funny, particularly in the 21st century. Ah, Pastor, I don't have the gift of fasting. Well, fasting is not a gift. Hallelujah. See 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. You won't find fasting there. Amen. Fasting is a spiritual exercise. Hallelujah. Just like prayer, it is Christian responsibility. Okay, you find that usually the people who make up excuses for not fasting and praying are the ones who need it the most. So be mindful of excuses. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, fasting is for our own benefit. Do you see that now? Okay, and also an act of obedience to God. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. We pick up from here. Thank you.